Father, I thank you that this is such a very important topic, and it so needs to be covered, and covered correctly, and covered well. So, Lord, as I just submit myself to you, I thank you, Lord God, for speaking through me. I thank you, Lord God, just for what you're going to do. I yield myself to you, Lord God, and only that which is of you will come forth out of my mouth. Lord, I thank you that the listening ears, they will hear the word of the Lord. They will not be muted or blinded a spirit of sleep and slumber shall not come upon them. Lord, we cancel that right now. Any spirit of sleep, slumber, confusion, twisting of what I say, not being able to hear because of an old mindset. I cancel all of that in the name of Jesus right now. You will hear the word of God. You will hear the truth. And wherever conviction needs to happen, conviction will come about. Wherever there is an aha revelation, that will come about. But I decree that you shall be set free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Absolutely true, 100%. But we need to walk in that freedom, and we need to do it God's way. And we can't walk in sin and expect the blessing. We can't walk contrary to the word of God and expect God's goodness and his kindness, even though God is merciful, even though God, yes, is faithful. But we cannot continue down that path and think that we're going to receive the fullness of what we could have simply because we are going contrary to the word of God. No, say, I'm not doing that. Lord, convict me even now. I want you to say, Lord, bring a conviction, Lord God, in my heart, wherever that needs to be. If I'm walking in sin, if there's pride, if there's arrogance, is there offense, is there stubbornness, Lord God, whatever. Whatever it might be, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, you show me, because I don't want it. I want to get rid of it once and for all. I want to walk according to your word, and I don't want these hidden agendas to literally rob me anymore. I trust you, Jesus, and I'm fully committed to you. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so recognizing generational curses, and this is part two. A curse protects the terms of a covenant. An ungodly covenant. A covenant is an agreement. And so in the context of what I am referring to, I'm talking about a partnership with sin. Okay, a covenant, an agreement, a partnership with sin. Okay, the curse is the penalty, and it needs to be paid because there's a covenant. Say it's a covenant. We know that God's covenant towards us, right, is his mercy, his tender kindness, and it's new every morning. But you know that we can make covenants that are not of God. And we can make those covenants with demons and with people that are contrary to the word of truth. Even though you are a believer and understand the covenant of the King. I hope someone's hearing me. It's the consequences that occur because of disobedience and rebellion against God's law. Okay, the curse is the consequence. You see the working of a curse, you see the consequence. And it's because of disobedience. Okay? You're caught speeding, this is an example. You're caught speeding down the freeway, you're pulled over by the police, you're given a ticket. You have to pay that fine, right? It's the penalty for the sin, right? Why? Because you were breaking the laws of the land. Correct? We can all probably associate and relate to that a little bit. So we understand, right? Simple, but yet still true. So spiritually, the cross paid our penalty in full, and we received salvation. The cross paid our penalty by his stripes, the stripes that Jesus bore on his body. He became a curse for us, so we wouldn't have to, right? We wouldn't have to go through that. Colossians 2, I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And I'll read it to you. It says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him." Now, we love that promise, and we quote that promise, right? "Having forgiven you of all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Praise God. So he nailed it to the cross. Praise God. That's verses 13 and 14 of Colossians 2. But jump down to verse 20. Colossians 2 and verse 20. It says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations?" So here we're saying, okay, so since you have died with Christ and the principles of the world, why are you subjecting yourselves again to the ways of the world? Why? Because there's a choice. We always have a choice in life. What we do matters. And if I choose to do things God's way, then I will get the blessing of God. But if I choose to do things the enemy's way or what's familiar in my life, because we're talking about generational curses, if I choose to do what is familiar, what seems natural, but not necessarily godly, then I will also suffer those consequences because I'm partaking in a curse. And it happens all the time, right? All the time. And it doesn't, it shouldn't though, but it does, and it needs to stop. Okay, so Galatians 3, let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Because we know we're justified by faith, absolutely. We must have faith to stand on the word of God, right? Galatians 3, and I'm gonna read from 1 through 9. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Means put a spell on you, means deceived you. "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" There you go. You see it right there. Who has put a spell on you? Who has caused you to be ignorant? Who has caused you to be blind, to not obey the truth of God's word? When we obey the truth of God's word, all of it, we do not walk in any of the curse. Any of the ways of any curse, right? Yeah. "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted for him for righteousness," and we love that scripture and we claim that scripture, right? "Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Faith in God's word, but faith has action. Faith is us appropriating the truth of God's word, right? And not some generational curse. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Okay? So we know that we're justified by faith. Okay? But we also know that the law brings a curse. Now keep right where you are at in Galatians chapter 3, but in verse 10. We're going to read from 10 through 14. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law, the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing,' it says, 'of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So it takes us understanding that the law brings a curse, but we are justified by faith, but we cannot be walking in the ways of the flesh, which actually brings that law back into action in our lives and actually causes us to walk in the curse, which God already took care of through his son, Jesus Christ. Are we all following so far? Okay, and so if you listen to part one, then this is gonna make even more sense to you. And if you didn't, then I highly encourage you to go back. When we sin, we reopen the terms of the covenant and we reap the consequences of the law. And I am not referring to losing your salvation right now, okay? I'm referring to reopening of the consequences that were already paid for and satisfied by the blood. the consequences that some people are walking in have already been paid for and satisfied by the blood, but you're still walking in the consequences because you still continue to reopen those doors of offense, of judgment, of anger, of frustration. You continue to reopen those doors, and you need to stop because you are allowing a generational pattern. Most likely it's a generational pattern, and even if it isn't, you don't want to be the one to start it. Right? We don't want to be the one to start it. So a curse is simply being empowered to fail. Empowered to fail? Mm-hmm. That's what a curse is. Oh, you're being empowered, all right, by the wrong spirit, by the wrong power. A curse is being empowered to fail. A blessing is being empowered to succeed. We know that God is the great blesser. And we know that we want to succeed according to God's word. A generational curse defined. A generational curse is unrepented sin still active in your bloodline and therefore potentially in your life as well. It opens you up to a curse that can affect your life while you willfully refuse to walk in the spirit and yield to the flesh. You will reap the behavior patterns of your ancestors. Now, I'm talking about willfully, I choose, I know this is wrong, but I refuse to hear it. I refuse to change. When people refuse to change, then there is a consequence that will follow. Some people are still sick because they refuse to submit to the Lord the sin that they're still hanging on to. They refuse to admit that it is sin. They refuse, they will not be humble before God because pride keeps you from it. It's not good. You're literally shooting yourself in the foot. You're spiting yourself. Like, why? You know, God's provision was enough, but we have to do it God's way. There is a way that pleases God, and it has to be His way. There is no other way. There's no other way. Can't do it our way. We got to do it His way. So some examples of generational sins and the resulting curses. I'm just going to list a few. This is not an exhaustive list. Okay, but here are some examples. Like, so if you see any of these things that are operating in your life or your family's lives, then you know, gee, I wonder if there's a generational curse that is at work. Well, especially if you see like multiple generations that the same pattern of sin is happening, then you can pretty much guarantee it. Here is a list. Alcoholism. Okay, you see it, you know, your grandmother, your mother, you know, yourself, maybe your son, you know, struggled. Maybe it even skipped a generation. Sometimes it skips a generation. Why? Not because it just skipped a generation. That person chose not to partake. It's not that great of a mystery. That person chose to not partake. Okay, alcoholism, drugs, physical and sexual abuse, homosexuality, adultery, perversion, lust, incest, rape, rage, barrenness, sickness, arthritis, cancer, and then all sicknesses, all diseases, early death, you know, untimely death, idolatry, rebellion, pride, arrogance, fear, poverty, prejudice, rejection, insecurity, alienation, manipulation, emotional dependency, lack, greed, unbelief, the occult, New Age, Freemasonry, witchcraft, Satanism, on and on, right? So that's just, you see some of these things operating in your life, then you got to say, you know what, why, Lord? I am saved, I love the Lord, but I see a familiar pattern of pride or arrogance, or I have to win every argument, or I have to be proven right every time. Really? Is that Jesus? No. Well, then what is it? It's flesh mixed with spirits that are probably generational, that you have something you can do to cancel those things and to get rid of those things. Let me keep going here. When you habitually sin, that's the key word, you put yourself back under a generational curse. It's called the sins of the fathers. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus 20, and starting in verse 4. It says in verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. He says, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, those who love me and keep my commandments. Powerful, isn't it? And we have no problem accepting the blessings that come down from our fathers. But some feel it's so unfair to be affected by what others have done. They say, well, that's unfair. I didn't do it. No, you have your hand in this. It doesn't just come upon you. Somewhere along the line, you did partake. And so therefore, now you are reaping the consequences. So the passing down of iniquity causes pressure. Like, how does this come about? Causes pressure, a propensity, or a bent to sin. However, it does not force you to sin. In Deuteronomy 24:16, it says, parents are not to be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin. So on our last message, I gave you a scripture in Ezekiel that says the soul that sins is the soul that dies. But here's another. I told you there were other places. Here's another scripture, Deuteronomy 24:16. So we must deal with sin God's way, church. We are accountable for what we have done or are continuing to do. And we can apply the power of the cross to nullify the pressure of generational sins and break the power that is associated in your life. There's a power associated. The problem is people have to have eyes to see, right? If you don't see something, you really don't necessarily know what to change. But if you ask the Lord to show you, he will. If you're humble, if you're open enough to say, Lord, what is it? What's going on in my life? What's wrong in my life, my character? What is it that I have maybe a bent, a tendency, but I'm unaware? Lord, show me, because he is faithful to show you, right? So we have to deal with things God's way. So the initial sin gives an opening through which demons then start to oppress the individual, right? Once the sin is established, of course, then the demons continue down the family line. They put pressure. They put pressure on you, and it's just like it gets worse and worse, and it gets worse. And the same way that your fathers, you know, your mothers and fathers in the past sin, then it just repeats down the family line. See, I'm not doing that. I'm done. I'm stopping. The cycle has to stop. So I choose to step out of the cycle. And as I recognize the cycle, I will step out. Now, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? So in Jeremiah 11, I'm going to read it to you from the New English Translation because I thought it was really clear. But in its verses 1 through 10, so the people had violated their covenant with God. You guys, we serve a covenant-keeping God, but we also have to keep keep the covenant too. Remember, we're not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the quality of life you're going to live. The people have violated the covenant with God. So the Lord said to Jeremiah, hear the terms of the covenant I made with Israel and pass them on to the people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem. Tell them that the Lord, the God of Israel, says anyone who does not keep the terms of the covenant will be under a curse. Now stop right there and think about your own life. Anyone who does not keep the terms of the covenant will be under a curse. We want to keep the terms of the covenant. What's the terms of the covenant? Well, the terms of the covenant is we want to walk according to God's ways and not walk in sin. Those are the terms that I charged your ancestors to keep when I brought them out of Egypt. That place was like an iron smelting furnace. I said at that time, obey me and carry out the terms of the covenant exactly as I commanded to you. We do know that God wants us to do it his way, and he should, and we should. He says, if you do, you will be my people, and I will be your God. Then I will keep the promise I swore on oath to your ancestors to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. So we get excited on that part of the scripture, that the land flowing with milk and honey, right? But we want to bypass the, I need to do things exactly as God has told me to do. And I'm not talking about a spirit of perfectionism. I'm not talking about getting into a religious mindset, but I am talking about having a heart that is submitted to God, that is hurts and breaks when we break God's heart. That we recognize, you know what? This is not about religious, like being religious. This is not about having a religious spirit. It is about having a tender heart towards God and saying, Lord, show me areas that I may be doing that don't please you. Areas that open me up to a curse. Areas that I am blinded because it goes down my generational bloodline. It's something I do consistently, but yet I haven't realized maybe up until today just how effective this curse has been. So in speaking to someone, we traced back what we know, 4 generations of a curse. And it was all on the female side. Abandonment and rejection. It was all on the female side for this individual. Abandonment, rejection. You go, okay, abandonment and rejection. It has caused havoc and chaos. And it's not the example that I shared with you on Thursday. It's someone else. But it's caused havoc and rejection and horrible, horrible physical ailments. Then, of course, it also stems to an inability to work. So then there's poverty that starts to come in, right? So these things, they grow. They just, Satan is just such a thief, right? He just comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so there, even in speaking to this individual, there was a lot of tears. Why? Because there's a lot of pain there. But there was an awakening. It was like, wow, I didn't realize that my soul was that wounded. And therefore, my body is still this sick. I didn't realize that I was walking in that kind of a curse for so many generations, which is the effect of the sickness in my body today, both emotionally and physically. And I need to be healed because this individual loves Jesus 100%. We're talking about believers. Okay. The Lord said to me, announce all the following words in the town of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of my covenant with you and carry them out. For I solemnly warned your ancestors to obey me. I warn them again and again, ever since I delivered them out of Egypt until this very day. God's delivered you out of Egypt. He's delivered you out of Egypt. He says, but they did not listen to me or pay attention to me. Each one of them followed stubborn inclinations of his own wickedness. So I brought on them all the punishments. This is what we don't want to hear, church. The punishments threatened in the covenant because they did not carry out the terms as I commanded them to. And people go, oh, but that's so Old Testament. So Old Testament. God doesn't do that. No, you're misinformed. You're actually misinformed. Because God is the same. Yes, he's loving. Of course he's loving. Of course he's kind. But he is still just. Yes, he gives us many chances, many opportunities. But trust me, he says, I'm a jealous God for a reason. He says, I'm a jealous God. In other words, he wants you to be fully committed to him and not to allow curses in your life, generational or otherwise. We have to be mature enough to say, wow, Lord, search my heart. I don't want any of that. If you know that there is abuse in your family line and it has gone on any kind of abuse, I mean, it could be physical abuse, it could be substance abuse, it could be sexual abuse, it could be any kind of abuse. And you know it's going down, you can look back and you go, wow, well, so-and-so operated in that. And man, our family's a mess because of it. And then the next generation, and I'm operating in that too. Well, why? When the blood of Jesus was already shed for you, why are you allowing a spirit that's generational to plague you? Well, now you know, and now you can do something about it. Change. Repent. Say no. Say no. I'm not doing that. I'm not walking down that path. I'm not walking down that path. I am going, God's given me a new spirit. He's given me a steadfast spirit. He's renewed my spirit within me. Then I'm not going to walk down that same old path. When we're aware, we can change. And I believe that we're aware, and I believe God's making you more and more aware. In Luke 11:28, it says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Well, you know how we read past this passage of scripture so quickly? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Well, if blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, then what are they that don't hear the word of God or don't keep it? You're not blessed, because blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So therefore, if we hear the word of God but don't keep it, we can't literally claim that blessing, can we? Not fully. And if we don't hear the word of God, then therefore you don't know. So therefore what? You're being shortchanged, not because God's provision wasn't made, but because you're not hearing what's available to you. You know, the enemy wants to block your ability to hear all the time, right? So we just don't let him. That's why we press in. That's why I press in, even in bringing messages like this, because it is so important, because there are so many layers that this has to do with your life, all of your lives, that I'm telling you, it's like peeling an onion. But if we are just faithful to listen, to heed, to be in one spirit, one mind, unity in the spirit, I believe that God's blood was enough. The blood of Jesus was enough. But we have to do it his way. We can't just do what's familiar and say, well, it was familiar. Well, stop letting it be familiar, because what you should be is familiar to the word, and you should have your mind renewed by the word daily, so that what's now familiar is the truth of God's word and not your old self. That takes some work. But the Spirit of God is in you to help you. Because if we don't do this, there's the consequences are high. 1 John 5:4, God has won the victory, and in Christ we're overcomers. And this is what the scripture says. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. See, faith has a part in this. So everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We have to have more faith in the word of God than more faith than what you see in your family bloodline. Some people have more faith that, well, so-and-so had a divorce, and then they had a divorce, and then they had a divorce, so surely we're going to have a divorce. I don't want a divorce, but look at the family. Stop. Well, they had, you know, cancer, and the next generation had cancer, and so it runs in my family line. Stop saying it runs in your family line, because that is a spoken curse. You are literally speaking the curse. It runs in my family line. It's a curse that you just spoke. Some curses are spoken. Some curses are written. Some curses are just done with artifacts, with, you know, literal items. But you don't have to be afraid of any curse, because you already have been freed from that curse because of the blood of Jesus. But you certainly don't want to be ignorant and then with your own mouth speak things that are not of God and say, well, it runs in my family's bloodline. What you should be saying is, I curse that thing and I cancel that thing now. And what runs in my family is the blood of Jesus. I am the beginning of the blessing. The blessing starts with me. Even though you can see the traces of the curse, the blessing starts with me. See, that's the ownership that we have, that we can take. But some people just went, yeah, but. No, enough. You are empowered to be blessed, to do what is right by the word of truth. So when it says here that God has won the victory and in Christ we are overcomers, it takes faith for us to stand on the truth of God's word and say, if the word says it, it's mine. This is how this works. You see the curse at work. You see it at work in your family. It starts knocking on your door. You start to feel the effects. You can feel the pull. Same familiar habit. Oh, you don't really want to do this, but all of a sudden you're feeling your anger. All of a sudden anger is starting to well up. You know, you already know the pattern. You've lived with yourself your whole life. You know the pattern. And so the anger starts to, whatever it might be, anger or something else, right? But you know. It starts to stir up. And you already know, oh, boy, you know. Well, at that moment is when you literally say, you know what? I am not going to go down this path. By the blood of Jesus, I cancel this right now. This is familiar. It is a familiar spirit. My grandfather operated this way. My father operated this way. I used to operate this way, but I'm not going to operate this way again because I met Christ. I'm now a blood-bought believer. So therefore, this familiar spirit that's trying to pester me right now, I decree null and void, void of power. I'm going to walk in the purity of the gospel. I'm going to walk in the purity of the word of God. I'm going to let gentleness be what comes forth out of me. I'm going to let his loving kindness be what comes forth out of me. I want to have the heart of God. Do you know that I have, by doing this, you have more faith. Testifying, you are saying, you know, you're believing more and having more faith in the word than more faith in what you've seen operate in your past. So what do you have faith for? Because if you have faith for, well, it's always been that way, so, and I'm telling you, I hear that all the time. Well, it's always been that way. I mean, that's just what's in our bloodline, and they believe it. So they have more faith for that because they believe it. You will have whatever you believe. The scripture says you will have whatever you believe. Not only you will have whatever you say, because that's also a scripture, but you will also have whatever you believe. So if you have more belief in the past to repeat itself, it will. But if you have more faith in the fact that that generational curse stopped with the bloodline of Jesus in you, then everything changes for you. Because you don't give in to the pressure. And not because you're so strong in and of yourself, but because you apply the word of God and you remember, my covenant is with the King of Kings. I break all ungodly covenants. I'm not walking in an ungodly covenant. I'm not walking in the curse. I'm walking in the blessing, and I have faith for it. Therefore, it will come to pass. So people have more faith in the curse, and that's why it continues. But we have to have faith in the word of God, which is why we do get to see the benefits of it. Amen? Proverbs 26 and 2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Now that's in the NIV version. An undeserved curse does not come to rest. Okay, so in other words, there's no curse without a cause, right? We went over this the other day, but I felt like it was fitting here since we are talking about some curses, and it's undeserved. An undeserved curse does not come. It doesn't kind of find a place to rest and to rest on you, right? Okay, but a deserved curse does. Oh, a deserved curse does? Yes, it'll find a home, a resting place in you. Maybe your father, your grandfather, maybe they were a womanizer, and you saw that your whole life. Maybe you didn't even see it. Sometimes you don't even see it. But that doesn't mean that that spirit isn't in operation. And it doesn't mean you weren't plagued by those spirits, even though you didn't know, even though they kept it as a secret. And you know that's true because even, you know, there's sometimes, and I've heard stories where they were adopted and they were never told that they were adopted. That child always knew something was not right. That child grew and knew something wasn't right. And sure enough, at some point in time, they ask, are you really my mom? Are you really my father? Because something within them, there's a void. They were never told, but there's a void. That spirit is at work. So we do need to understand. Sometimes we don't know family spirits. Sometimes you talk to people, they don't even know, but they're seeing the effects. Well, if you see an effect, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know all of your family history. You just need to see the fruit that's happening in your life right now. And talk about abuse, like physical abuse. If you were raised in physical abuse, then chances are you end up partnering with someone that also walks in physical, that is an abuser, because that is a familiar spirit to you. That's what you've known without knowing. What does she mean? That's what you know deep down inside without really focusing mentally, without really truly articulating until your eyes are opened. It's a spirit and it follows after you. And you wonder why. One relationship after the next relationship after the next, and it's the same pattern. And you go, my goodness, is there like a magnet on my back? Is there like a sign? Well, in a way there is. Actually, in a way there is in the spirit realm. And those demons know you, and they've watched and they've studied you. And so therefore, they know your history. They know your family's history. They know what you're bent to. They know what you've also given into. And so it's kind of like, yes, like a sign on you. But it's spiritual. It's in the spiritual realm. And this is why the history, ungodly history, ungodly patterns, tend to repeat themselves until someone stands up in the name of Jesus and says, not anymore. I'm not allowing this anymore. The blood of Jesus truly is enough, but I have to do my part. And my part is to stand in truth and have faith in the word of God and reject the enemy and his assignments and separate myself from the people I need to separate myself from. Because not everyone is healthy and not everyone is supposed to be in your inner circles. Because not everyone is healthy. Not everyone is wise. Not everyone is willing to change. Just because you're willing to change doesn't mean everyone else is willing to change, right? But God is looking for one person that's willing to change so he can start the blessing in your life. Are you going to be that person? We're going to be those people, right? Romans 5:1. God's children have been justified by God. Yes, we have. Therefore, it says, we have been justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified through faith, church. There's no curse that can stand here. There's no curse that can have its way here because we understand the power of God. We understand that we have peace with him, but we do need to do it his way. We have been justified by God, and therefore, we are undeserving of punishment. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there is no condemnation to a Christian unless there is. If there is, then there's a reason for it. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. And if you're walking in the flesh, then there's condemnation. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are walking in the Spirit. That's why I said there is therefore now no condemnation unless there is. Because some people will say that scripture, you know, and they'll just, there's no condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but that's assuming that you're walking in the Spirit. That's assuming that you're walking according to the Word of God. Because if you're not, there is condemnation and you will feel it. And this is what the enemy does. He torments you with that condemnation. The wisest thing to do is repent quickly and say, wow, you know, I'm being tormented by, why? Oh, you know what? I did. I kind of let that door open a little bit. I was prideful or arrogant or just stubborn or whatever. I just, you know, I wanted to be right, or I was insisting to be heard or whatever your thing might be, right? And the enemy starts to torment you with more, other things. Pretty soon, this is how people stray from God. This is how people stray so far that they lose their salvation. They stray so far that they don't even remember their walk with Christ anymore. And they don't want it because they're so deceived and plagued by one thing after another, but they didn't have to be. I believe that we are to walk with the Lord, and I believe we are to abide with Christ. Amen. And if we walk, God will never leave us nor will he forsake us. But if we walk away, does he come after us? Yes. But can you refuse? Yes. Abide. Abide with him. Day by day, moment by moment. So the enemy is trying to, and he will always try, because this is his MO, this is what he does. Tries to put one tactic upon you. If you let him, he'll just continue on. More torment, more fear, more control, more confusion. And from there, bad decisions start to be made. From those bad decisions, more bad decisions start to be made. From those bad decisions, now you start to see bad fruit. When it's continual like that, then there is a curse that has been at work. It's been developing. You have made a covenant now with the enemy. That covenant may have not been spoken, but it was done in your actions and in your heart of hearts in what you believe. Because it all goes back down to what you believe. Because you're going to act upon your beliefs. If you truly believe that Jesus is enough and that you're walking according to his word, then you will not be plagued by any type of a curse. But you know this takes some time to renew your mind? You know it takes some time to really fully believe the truth? Because let me tell you, the enemy is so good about bringing in the opposite spirit. He's so good about bringing in that contrary spirit of the word of God. And if we fall for it continuously, that's when we say, wow, what happened? The only thing that happened is you believed a lie, and that grew. Generational curses stem from this. It's not the first time that someone sins that something happens like this. But we don't want to gamble with. We don't want to play with fire. The Bible says if you play with fire, you get burned. So we don't want to play with fire. We want to get things right. Obviously, we don't want to play with fire and get burned. But even beyond that, we don't want to grieve the heart of God. We want to stay in fellowship with the Lord. We want to stay in communion with the Lord. We want to stay connected to the Lord in purity. So every day it should be, Lord, search my heart. I don't want to have a heart that is contrary to you, stubborn towards you. I don't want to have a heart that is stiff-necked and so opposed and have to be right and I need to be justified. Well, wait a minute. Even Jesus didn't operate like that, and he had plenty of opportunity to stand up and say, how about me? Like, why are these people, why do I got to give my life for them? But he didn't do that. So, you know, this whole topic on generational curses, we're called to be free. Remember, the promise requires something of you. That's obedience. Obedience is such a beautiful word. The promise requires something of us. It's obedience to his word. It's simple, isn't it? Sometimes it's not as simple to carry out, but it is simple. But the more we do it, the easier it is to carry it out, though. I really fully believe that. It is disobedience that opens you up to the condemnation and to the curse. It is disobedience that opens us up. Well, I'm going to kind of wrap it up here for this. Now, this, remember, this is just, I'm still just kind of set. It took two messages to just set the stage for generational curses, part one and part two. Today, we talked a lot about the actual curse and having faith for that curse versus the word of God, because you're going to believe in something and you're going to see the fruit of that something. Now, we know that the remedy, Jesus has already given it to us, and I'll quickly go over how do you break that curse. I'm going to have a separate teaching on that, but you stand in the gap and you pray and you repent, because I know some of you weren't here on Thursday, and some may not be here when I actually go and do that part of that teaching, more full teaching, right? But just quickly, you stand in the gap and you ask God to forgive your generations past. Wow, Lord, they were not even saved, or they were walking in Buddhism, or they were doing this or that. Lord, forgive them. Lord, I stand in the gap and I ask for you to forgive them. I repent on their behalf. So you repent on their behalf, but specifically, you take this to the Lord and you let God pray through you. In other words, it shouldn't be just a one-sentence statement and you're done. You're not done. It grieved the heart of God. It was rebellion towards God. It brought in a curse. Lives were at stake. Some lives were taken. Lives were certainly destroyed because of the generational curse. So do you think that it might make some sense for you to stay a little bit longer in your prayer closet and ask God to really break your heart for the things that have been done in your family bloodline so you can speak specifically to them instead of just one line, Lord, forgive them? How about putting yourself in the shoes of the person that should be doing the forgiveness and really feeling the effects of what was done, and now praying specifically until they can, if they're still alive. Because some are not. But God will still work through your prayer. chains literally fall off your lives as you stand in the gap and pray, Lord, forgive them. Lord, for, oh my goodness, Lord, for the times that they were rebelling against you, Lord God, for the times that they didn't even consider your ways, Lord, for the way it grieved your heart, Father God, oh God, forgive them, Lord. And then you remember a certain scenario, and then you pray specifically how just the emptiness and the void of any anything that would have to do with the Word of God, there was just such a void, Lord God, no care towards what you thought at all. Lord, I stand in the gap and I repent on their behalf. When you pray for someone like this, God will give you keys to literally loosen the things that have bound you. You become free. Now, they may become free too. If they're still living, they can become free too. But remember, they still have a part in this. It's not like we override anybody's will. But yet, if I had a person standing here and they were wrapped with all kinds of chains, and I was able to pray in my prayer closet in the way I'm telling you, some of those chains start to break off. Some of those chains start to fall to the ground. That person may have a ton of chains. Maybe they're just deep in it, but some of those chains start to fall off. That individual starts to get loosed a little bit from the bondage that they walked in. The goal is that we continue as the Spirit of God directs and as he shows us, right? Continue so that more and more and more chains can be removed, so that they become free enough to make their own petitions before the Lord, to repent on their own behalf, because that does need to happen, right? After you stand and you pray, and it's called standing in the gap, okay? That's what I call it anyway. After you pray in this way, and you're standing in the gap for them, and you feel like you've done what you need to do, at least for today, you know, at least for that time, you probably have to do it again and again. Remember, because it's free will, right? People have a choice. And of course, you include yourself. Don't forget yourself. Don't be thinking it's always them. So you include yourself. So Daniel did, he included himself. Ezra, Nehemiah, they included themselves. They prayed this way. You can look it up, and you look it up in the Word of God, and you can use, that's what I've done. I've literally opened my Bible up to Daniel chapter 9, and I've just gone through that prayer, and I have repented, and I used it as a model, and it helps. It doesn't all fit, but what does, and you can certainly then formulate your own sentence and your own prayer, but it's a help. After you've done that, then, of course, you take authority and you command those spirits to leave that individual alone. You command those spirits to be uprooted. You rebuke the generational curses, and you do that until you feel like you have done what God has told you to do, until it's enough. And you do it however many times God tells you, until you start seeing the fruit in your life and in someone else's life, right? So, again, this is just, you know, setting the foundation for breaking of curses. We did part one, part two. We will get into some other teachings that have to do specifically about generational curses, because you'd be surprised how the church, the Christian church, how they walk in deception in this area, but they do not have to, and they shouldn't. People bound yet free. It's true. Bound yet free. Positionally free, but physically, spiritually bound. Said, no more, because when we know the truth, it empowers us to do it, right? So, Father, I thank you for this night, and I thank you for this teaching, and I thank you, Lord God, that ears heard, eyes saw, hearts responded, and, Lord, this is not something that they're going to forget. They're going to remember. Lord, help them to remember. Help them to carry this out, that which I was speaking of. Lord, to go into their prayer closets and make this a practice, not a one-time thing, however often you put that on their hearts. Lord, I thank you that it is freedom that we receive from you. Amen. We walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God because the perfect provision was already met in Christ Jesus by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I decree that they are free, and that they walk in the blessing of the Lord, that they walk in the submission of God, and that you will bring conviction wherever there needs to be conviction, and you will open up eyes wherever that needs to be. You will bring that peace, and you will bring that victory, that they will see the goodness of the Lord, not just know about it. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen, amen.